Fatima, where heaven and earth have met. Since the day our Blessed Mother visited her cousin Elizabeth, she has never stopped visiting her people and care for them in time of need, reminding them of the gospel of her son. This happened in Guadalupe, Mexico, and then in Lourdes, France. Let us now hear what was the purpose and message of her visitation in Fatima on every 13th of the month from May to October in 1917. Here now is the director of Radio Maria Canada, Father George Amaro.
Welcome, brothers and sisters, for another program about Fatima. We are already in Portugal. We have spoken about the First World War that happened between 14 and 18. We have spoken the conditions of peace in the treaty that was signed, and how those conditions were very bad for Germany and how they caused the Second World War, which was pre-announced by our Blessed Mother at Fatima. And then we have spoken about how Portugal was on the 1917, on the year of the apparitions. What was the seats in Lebanon, the German would say? What was the condition? What was the habitat? How were people living? What was the politics? Portugal had gone into from monarchy from 7 years ago, from 1917, 1910 started the Republic. And the first years of the Republic were very bad, and this Republic was very left-wing. It was very much against the church, and well, for probably the church in those before the church was associated with monarchy. You remember those three values in times: God, homeland, and king. So those three values were the guidelines for people during all the Middle Ages, and so was not easy to get rid of them. And so Republic got rid of the king, but people had in their fantasy, in their minds, the king was still there somehow, the Republic was very much against the church, as I told you, and processions were not allowed, bells were not ringing, and the church was very much persecuted for no reason. It was just persecuted, and that was the year when Our Lady appeared in Portugal. Now, why Portugal? I told you that I would touch this subject. Why Portugal and not France? Well, France had been visited too, but why not Spain and any other country? Well, it's difficult to understand. You know, with the mind of God, we cannot perceive it totally. We can perceive some what is more important for us and what suffices us, but of course our intelligence cannot understand fully the intelligence of God, because we are creatures and God is the creator. But I can see some reasons. But of course I cannot tell you these are the reasons why God has chosen Portugal and not any other country. I cannot tell you that. But I can see in my human mind, I can see some reasons that might be in the origins of this choice, because the designs of God are not our designs, and He knows better. He knows our past, our present, and our future, so we cannot fully understand what God has in mind. But indeed, Portugal was chosen, and Portugal would not be chosen like the people of Israel were chosen, we can see, because they were monotheists. So when God is looking for a country to incarnate His Son, to send His Son to the world, He's not going to look for a country where polytheism is the religion of people when they believe in different gods. Of course, He's going to choose a country that is monotheist, that believe in a personal and spiritual God. So the same, Portugal was chosen because there was something there that could have somehow catch the eye of God, in this case Our Blessed Mother. But of course, when we think of Our Blessed Mother, don't you think that Our Blessed Mother comes and visits the earth against God's will? So it's all within God's plan, within the salvation of the Son. And so Jesus is still acting. And in many times, as you see, He acts through His Mother. And so it is okay, because His Mother is fully human, is flesh of our flesh. So He acts through her. She is from here. Jesus is from heaven. Mary is from the earth. So he acts many times through the mediation of His earthly mother. So there you are. He chose Portugal. Portugal, one of the other names of Portugal, well, I told you already, was Lusitania. But one of the other names of Portugal in the beginning, and even before the existence of Portugal, this land that is corresponds to the north of Portugal, south of Galicia, was called the land of Holy Mary. That's it. That's a fact. So I guess. So the land belonged to Our Blessed Mother, so to say, because that was the name of that land. It was the land between in the 9th century, Alfonso III, the king of Leon, established the lands between the river Douro, you know, the one that makes the port wine, and the Volga rivers, the one that goes to Aveiro, that it's like the Portuguese Venezia, because the land, the sea invades the land. So the land between these two rivers, it was called the land of Holy Mary, the land of Holy Mary, Terra de Santa Maria. And there was a castle, there was still there, the castle, I visited it not long ago, a castle that is called Santa Maria da Feira. Feira is a fair, you know, the medieval fairs where people exchange their products. So this place, this castle, was probably the military fortress that is still there, and the administrative center of these lands, the lands that are between the river Douro, the one that meets the ocean, the Atlantic Ocean, in the second town of Portugal, Porto, and the river Volga, the one that meets the land, In Aveiro, another town in north of Portugal. So these lands were called the land of Holy Mary, and Portugal was born in the north. These lands, the lands of Holy Mary, they constituted a conduct. The veneration of the Blessed Virgin Mary in this land so predates the Portuguese nationality. In fact, the invocation of the Immaculate Conception dates all the way back to Alfonso Henriques, the first king of Portugal, with the conquest of Lisbon in 1147. So in 1147, in the 12th century, Portugal already venerated Our Blessed Mother as Immaculate Conception. So therefore it makes all the sense, you know, the dogma of the Immaculate Conception, it was proclaimed much later in 1854, so in 19th century already, but Portugal already in the 12th century venerated Our Blessed Mother as the Immaculate Conception. So our first king became the patron saint of Portugal, became the Immaculate Conception, since our first king in 1147 conquered Lisbon to the Moors, to the Muslims. And so the whole Portugal, so not only these lands from Oporto to Lisbon, because that was the Portugal that existed during the time of this king, it was the whole Portugal called the land of the Holy Mary. So therefore, to these regards, it makes sense that Mary would visit her land. Mary would visit her land, the land of Holy Mary. But these lands that were going to be called Portugal, before I must tell you another story just before the nationality of Portugal, but let us make a pause before I'll tell you that. Welcome back, brothers and sisters. So we were speaking about the Holy Land, the Land of Mary, the Land of Mary, Land of Holy Mary, that's the name. And that land was called also, belonged to one count, Portucalensis. The name comes from the city of Porto. The king of Leon, which will later become one of the kingdoms that will constitute the kingdom of Spain. But before that, long before that, the king Alfonso VI, of Leon, he called upon the Franks to help him defeat the Moors, conquer lands in the south. Remember that the Moors came up to Poitiers, and they were defeated. They were defeated by Carlos Martel. The Franks are one of the Germanic tribes that conquered the Roman Empire. The Franks, from where the name France comes, they established themselves in the Gallia, where the Celts were. So now the Celts are the only ones that are not a Germanic tribe. They already lived in those places. Also in the Iberia Peninsula, before the Moors came, before the Romans came, the Celts lived in the Iberia Peninsula, lived in Ireland and Scotland. And so the Celts are not Germanic. They were already living in those places. But then the Germanic tribes came from Denmark and south of Scandinavia. Indeed, the Germanic tribes, there were so many tribes, and so they were full of people. They had lots of people. So these tribes are the ones who colonized the Roman Empire. They migrate to the Roman Empire, and they defeated the Romans. The Lombards, north of Italy, those are Germanic too. The Goths, the Visigoths, the Ostrogoths, the Saxons, the Vandalos, the Suevi, and there are many other tribes, the Hunos. They are all Germanic tribes. They have, they establish in German, of course, but they are originally from Denmark and Scandinavia. So they are the ones who conquered the Roman Empire. And we are at the time that the Franks established themselves in what is called France. And Carlos Martel, it's called Carlos Martel because he used a hammer as a weapon. He really used a hammer like the Vikings. He used a hammer to fight. And so this Carlos Martel defeated the Muslims in Poitiers, because the Muslims, indeed, they conquered all the Iberia Peninsula, and they came up to Poitiers, where they were defeated. But little by little, the Franks drove out from France all the Muslims, and they were still fighting the Muslims. They crossed the mountains. They crossed the mountains that divided the Pyrenees, that divide France from Spain, from the Iberian Peninsula, and they were helping the kingdom, the king of Leon. And so these two cousins came. One is called Henry, and the other is called Raymond. And this king, because they were good fighters, these two knights, they came with their small armies to fight the Moors. And so in recognition, the Alphonse VI of Leon gave this land of Holy Mary to Henry. And he gave him also one of his daughters. Was not a legal daughter, but was still his daughter. And he gave the other land that is now called Castile, he gave it to Raymond and another daughter called Urraca. So the land of the Holy Mary, the son of Teresa and Henry, became Afonso Henriques. And this son, he fought his mother in a battle, because the mother wanted to continue to belong to the kingdom of Leon. But his son wanted independence from Leon. So Portugal traces its nationality origin to the 24th of June, 1128. That's the date of the Battle of São Mamede, Alfonso proclaimed himself King of Portugal after this battle with his mother. He defeated his mother, and he assumed, the Pope approved this new kingdom, and a treaty was signed in Zamora, in León, and Portugal became indeed independent from this kingdom of León in 1143. So this land of Holy Mary became independent from the kingdom of León, fully independent in 1143. Now this kingdom, this first king and the first king of Portugal was one who ruled Portugal for more years, almost 50 years, our first king. So he started to conquer land to the Moors, up to Algarve. He didn't reach the Algarve, but his son indeed reached Algarve, the southern part of Portugal, driving away these Muslims. So, as I said before, Portugal became the land of the Immaculate Conception because he asked the Immaculate Conception, help to defeat the Moors and to conquer Lisbon. That is the actual capital of Portugal. But in the 17th century, in 16,000, Portugal loses its independence. You remember I told you that Portugal was governed by a king that was 15 years old, and he went to battle. And of course he was 15 years old, and he died in that battle. So Portugal became since he was 15 years, he didn't have any kids, and so we didn't have a king. And the heir to the throne was indeed Philip II from Spain. Why? Because this Philip II, he was son of Charles V, the German emperor. He was this German emperor. He was called the Sacrosanct Empire Roman and German Emperor. That was his title, Charles V. But this Charles V was married with a princess from Portugal called Elizabeth. This is not the Holy Elizabeth. The Holy Elizabeth is another saint that comes from Zaragoza, that is the kingdom of Aragon in Spain. That's another Elizabeth. This Elizabeth, but she was not a saint, but she was very beautiful. She was stunning beautiful. That's what the history says. And, I must tell you this fact, because there is this Francisco de Borgia. He's a saint. He was after being converted, he went up to be the general of the Jesuits. This Francisco de Borgia, he was a nobleman at the service of the Emperor Charles V and Elizabeth of Portugal. Now, he was in love with, he was a very good servant of the emperor and the empress. And he admired the beauty of this Elizabeth. Well, all it happened that this Elizabeth died of young age. And when he saw Elizabeth dead, he said a sentence that changed his whole life. I don't want, because he was a faithful servant of Charles V and his wife, and he said, from now on, I don't want to serve another lord that may die on me. I don't want to serve another lord that may die on me. So from that on, he left the court, he left the royals, and he became a priest, and indeed he became the general of the Jesuits, Saint Francis of Borgia, and is He became a saint because he contemplated the corpse of a beautiful lady and said, well, that is where everything ends, even her beauty. So that's why he converted. So the son of Charles V and the son of Charles V and Elizabeth of Portugal was Philip II. And Philip II got Portugal, got the Portuguese crown. He was the legitimate heir of the crown. And indeed, we lost our independence for 40 years. Because in 1640, the king of Portugal, what happened? That's the last fact that I tell you. That's why I told you all this story, because something very beautiful is going to happen here. In 1640, the kings of Portugal have stopped wearing their crowns in their heads. So after the 1640, you never see a Portuguese king with the crown in his head. The coronation ceremony was replaced with another type of ceremony and came to be called acclamation, not coronation. The kings of Portugal were not crowned. They were acclaimed kings. And the king receives the crown, which he places by his side, not on his head. This practice was started by King John IV, who asked for Mary's intervention in one of the battles for the restoration of independence against Spain. Upon the success in the battlefield, the king proclaimed Our Lady, the Immaculate Conception, as the Queen of Portugal. So, you see, it was the land of Holy Mary, and became this land. This our Blessed Mother is the Queen of Portugal. Of course, Portugal have kings and queens, but the real queen is always the whole our Blessed Mother. And as I said, since the 1640, the kings of Portugal, and indeed we had also queens, they never wore the crowns over their heads, because they consider that the real Queen of Portugal is the Immaculate Conception.
You have been listening to Fatima, Where Heaven and Earth Have Met, with Father George Amaro. Thank you for joining us today, and we pray that this program is an encouragement to you. Please join us here on Radio Maria Canada, where Father George Amaro will continue his teaching about our Blessed Mother and the significance of Fatima.